This is Neon Coltrane with Elise Osborne.
Hi, this is Neon Coltrane, and I found in his long travels Jonah Emerson Bell, aka Blind Stallion Space Wizard. Hello.
Hello. It's great to be here. It's a dark and stormy night in the city of angels.
It sure is. So, he is a man tarot reader. What? Men can read tarot?
Apparently, it's a gift that is non-gender based, and you know, anyone can do it. If I can,
I don't know about it. I'm still skeptical.
Me too. You know? And sometimes, honestly, like I'll be in situations where people are like, "How does this work?" And I'm like, "I don't fucking know." But fair. You know, I pull the cards and they seem to be helping people.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that happens when you're a tarot reader. And I think that, like, you present yourself as such an entertainer that there's probably, you got to figure out how much of your work is about the experience of having a magical story told to you about your own life and how much of it is, like, therapy. We don't get, like, a license for what we do. So there's, like, a lot of really shady, fucked up readers. And then there's people that offer something that's kind of uncanny, but then they take on all the darkness of the people they're talking to.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really takes all kinds, you know? And I think that it functions in all the ways that you were talking about, right? It functions as a storytelling device, right? Which I think is actually incredibly therapeutic. To be able to see your life path laid out in a story format where you have these characters who are acting out the parts of the minor arcana and the major arcana. And you get to see, like, what happens if, say, the fool, you know, falls into, like, the seven of coins and, like, you know, gets bummed out that, like, all of his dreams are not coming true, you know? And, like, you get to see where that goes next. And you get to see these sort of archetypical life roles and situations play out in a pictorial format, which I think, like, the being able to associate with images helps the subconscious to process things on a much deeper level than just being like, I'm going to tell myself to think differently.
Totally. I mean, it does speak to our, that's why, I mean, children, like a lot of picture books, it's like we understand images before we understand all these, like, heavier concepts. Mm-hmm. Or language, so yeah. The images can really say thousand words, which reminds me of, like, reading Rainbow, you know, where it's just like this cartoon where they're just pointing at pictures. Mm-hmm. It's like that.
You know, I think also one of the stories about how the tarot came to pass is that it was the old knowledge of witchcraft, and, like, magic that was hidden in a children's game, so that it would, you know, pass by the censors and the people who were, you know, reading the witch hammer and burning the witches and destroying, like, all of this knowledge. You know, same thing with fairy tales.
No, totally. I mean, it's all, I think that, as a tarot reader, I've gotten into situations where somebody will say to me, like, you know, this isn't real, right? You're a delusional fool. And I have to be like, what is your point? Also, what the fuck is the point? I think children have magical thinking because they're still developing. So they're allowing themselves to play, to use symbols, to imagine things, to not feel like they're going to get in trouble if they, like, think of dream and grow. And I think when people start getting crusty and start dying is when they stop giving themselves the ability to think magically and, like, think in pictures and dreams and, like, grow from there.
Truth. I think it starts well before we turn into crust punks, but
no, I mean crust punk. I mean, like, just generally talking crusty.
Well, I think that it starts when you go to school, right? When you go from being in this sort of expansive dreamland of, like, your imagination where magic is real and you can access sort of like your dream life and like imagine things and have them be true and like spend all day like living out these stories that you create in your brain. And then you go to school and people tell you to sit down, shut up, learn your arithmetic. You know, if you don't fit in, you get called names or beat up. Like, you know,
well,
people get socialized.
I don't know. Like, I don't know about that. Like, I feel like I spaced out a lot in school. So like,
yeah.
probably had a lot of, explorative fantasies while I was sitting down and shutting up, which is what I did all the time anyway. So,
I guess just like, you know, the ability to like think magically and to dream, you know, and, the ability to create your reality with your mind and, believe that that's an okay thing to do, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, for us space cadets, like we're going to do it whether or not it's okay.
Well, yeah. And I think like that's where, magic comes from.
I feel like we're in a like a southern, not a southern, like a western, like we're both shuffling our cards.
Yeah.
We're gonna draw.
Totally.
All right, let's draw one card for whatever reason. Wait, okay, pick a question. This is the thing we were talking about earlier, the magic of the question. So I was saying that I feel that, well, the most common questions are love and money, but also the way someone asks a question or what question they ask already shapes the reality.
Yeah.
You know, so it already puts them in sort of a binary, which it doesn't matter if it's a yes or a no. It's already like a two-lane universe, right, when you ask the question. So I think to me, a lot of tarot in my own experience is asking more interesting questions.
Yeah.
Which you could do by, you could do for someone by putting a lot of effort in the spread that you make, because it'll like have like its own sort of circuit board on like what is what.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter what the question is. It has like more thought built into it.
Yeah, totally. You know, I personally use like, I don't use fixed positions. What came out? I don't use fixed positions when I read just because, I just don't.
Yeah.
But like I use like two spreads that I've just sort of like come into, and like the cards like generally will tell the story that they want to tell, you know, it relates back
to. Oh, totally. I mean, there's a lot of like, there's chaos reading, which I'm calling it, like where it's more like scrying, where I just like do random cards and it doesn't always have to do with like the traditional meaning of the cards. But because of like having done a lot of readings for strangers or like, you know, like mass readings for like a public event, I have a 3 card, which makes it easier.
Yeah.
Which isn't a past, present, future, which is the normal 3 card. It's based on this Joseph Campbell thing he was saying about dragon slaying.
Huh.
How
do tell. But love me some Joseph Campbell.
Well, this is fun, actually. So because it's turned, at first it was like the dragon slaying story, but not everyone has time for it, and it's
right.
Hard, you know, so it just became like the key, the gate, and the treasure. But the key is the sword and the dragon is the gate, and then the treasure is the treasure.
Because dragons love treasure.
they just have to hoard the treasure.
Yeah,
they're not
that.
Really
they
doing
even,
anything
yeah,
with
they
the treasure.
They're
not
swim in it like
any money, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they just like
maybe
shiny
there,
things,
but yeah, it's not being used. So it's like basically it's a reading that's about initiating like what your power is to overcome something that's blocking you from something that you can have access to if you like used your power strategically instead of like shying away from something that's like a blockage. And blockage is just like a very general and non-emotional way of saying like whatever your fucking problem is, you know?
Yeah. Which is, I don't know. The problem is where the gold is, right? Where the treasure is, you know, is in the dragon's lair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And right, like having a conversation with a friend of mine today who was talking about just being, you know, in LA in the rain and being like, oh, I can't like walk it out. I can't like go walking around or like be distracted. Like I'm sort of like stuck with myself, with my claustrophobia inside.
Oh, damn. Yeah, yeah. No. I mean, I actually have been, this is, I know that you're going to say something else, but I was walking yesterday and it was raining really hard. And at first I was like, and then I'm like, this is awesome though. It's like this cool environment that you enjoy for maybe a few days.
Yeah.
And it was actually a really nice walk in the rain.
Yeah. And getting to, you know, lean into that uncomfortability or what is like perceived as uncomfortable,
yeah.
you know, and like, that's the place where you get to grow, being like, oh, I'm like here with myself. Oh, this is uncomfortable. I want to freak out. And then being like, actually, like, why am I freaking out? This is fine. Like,
totally.
Let me just like breathe and like see what it's like and like notice what it feels like to be alive.
So speaking of freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had an experience where you're reading tarot for someone where they were like, had some kind of breakthrough and they got very attached to you and like kept wanting more readings in like this really intense way?
I don't think I haven't had it in a way that's like uncomfortable. Right. I've definitely have had clients who like, I've been impactful for, and like we've formed a relationship, but I haven't
yeah.
been like, oh, like you're like super creepy. Like, why are you outside of my house? You
no,
know?
Okay.
I mean, I like, there are some people who are like get really excited and they're like, I want to know all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't teach you or tell you all the stuff because I don't know all the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I gave you like the information that came to me and you got to go work on it now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a thing that even me as like somebody who like engages in this practice, I find myself doing is being like, give me the answers. Right.
Yeah.
And the answers, like knowing more answers doesn't get you closer to the truth.
Well, also if you're reading your own cards and you're getting the answers,
I can't read my own cards.
It's so bad. Mm-hmm. It's really insane. Actually.
I can't read for myself because I'm like, oh, like, what is this? What is this card? Oh, the King of Wands. That's not what I want. Like, let me see, like, the next
like,
one. Or Seven of Swords. Totally don't want that either. Like,
just like, what?
Yeah.
I can't see anything.
Yeah.
But I'm shaking around and I'm confused.
Yeah. And I, like, you know, we'll try and mold it to what I want it to be. You
yeah.
know? I'm not able to be objective. And so, like, that's why I go to other people, which is, like, as a reader, really nice to see other people's styles and like how they work and like the way that
totally.
They like access that information, which like I can't do for myself.
I mean, I also like the differences of other readers because they'll have different associations with cards
mm-hmm.
or they'll sometimes like assume that I have the same belief around a card or like, you know, how blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not at all what I see, but I like that it's coming up because I feel like the cards will talk to the person who's reading the
yeah,
cards.
That's real.
And they'll say whatever they need to say. There's like a two-part conversation when I'm reading a tarot reading for someone where it's like partially me just translating.
Mm.
And part of translating is like you have to figure out who you're talking to and what their capacity is, what their language is, and like what is the message they need to hear, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of there's some diplomacy involved for sure.
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, you don't like, you don't, I don't want to like tell people to like quit their job or break up with their partner because like that's not my responsibility.
I do
necessarily.
I always say
you love that, you're like, drop him, ditch him, like get the fuck out of there.
I'm about it. It's it can be uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but I'm also like, you know what, I'm just some asshole that you're talking to that you don't know, like, so if this resonates with you, like, maybe check into why that's making you feel shaken up.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just, like, some idiot, like, then fine. That's
yeah.
that's great for me.
Yeah. I try, you know, I think that there's great power in planting seeds in people's thinking processes.
Yeah.
You know, and if, like, that's a way of casting spells is being like, you know, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Or, like, something's off and people are like, you know, they start like looking for it. Right. And
sometimes people go in circles, you
yeah.
know, like, so I think like what you're saying about, pulling your own cards and being like, what? Like you cannot get hit in the face enough with information and be like, it doesn't make any sense. Like you could write it out in like a clearer English sentence and you're like, don't understand. But I feel like sometimes when some people are in denial, like you'll like say something over and over and over and over and they want to like keep unpacking it. And you're like, what is the thing you need to like move forward?
Right.
Which is, again, more about the question.
Yeah. Also, the other thing is like, you know, my My job is to unpack the information that I'm given. It's not, you know, it's not to force somebody to like make the changes that I think they need to make. And like a lot of times, and this is like a very unfortunate truth that I've come to, is like uncomfortability is the thing that like forces people to change. And I can be like, here is the door, and people like don't have to go through it, and they might be like, cool, I'm just gonna like stay here and drink and be miserable.
Well, yeah, it's not always your job too, you know, to do that, like creating a little barometer around like what it is as an exchange between two people, to be like, this is what's going on for you, says the cards. I say, do as you like. And then, you know, well, who knows?
Yeah. And like people tend to make the changes that they're ready to make, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And like, if somebody say is like in a dead end job that's soul sucking and they hate, and I'm like, hey, like, it's cool. Like, you know, the fool comes up and it's like, hey, like, just step off the cliff and like, probably like,
break your legs.
Yeah, or be supported, you know? Be supported in like leaving this job, and like maybe you will just like cross the other side seamlessly, like Bugs Bunny walking off a cliff, you know? If you don't look down, like, you get to the other side. However, like, if they're not ready to do it, like, it's not like I'm not going to force them off of it. And like, sometimes like people need to go through the process of being like, oh, this sucks, and then like coming up with their own agency and strength to be able to like make these changes that they need to make on their own time. And it's like, I try and provide this like glimpse into the possibilities that are available to somebody, because like, yeah, we get stuck in these loops and we get stuck in a structure of, I need to work to make a living because that's the only thing that I know. And if like all you know is this one thing, that's the only reality that you live in.
I mean, I agree with you in theory, but sometimes cards will say like, oh, you have to keep this shitty job for now. That's what's real. And like, I think that the best experience of learning and growing is knowing that like, you constantly have to reset your ideas and like be like open to like the bigger world moving in this grand clockwork that you can't even fathom.
Oh my God. Why can't I just stay in this place that's comfortable?
Yeah, I know. I'm a Taurus. I wish I could like just live inside of a big jewelry box with food. What's your least favorite card for someone to pull? I'll go first.
Please.
Three of Swords, Judgment Inverted,
and
Justice.
I love the Three of Swords. I love that card.
You would, you freak.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Five of Swords, though, because I think that one is really nebulous and, like, hard to kind of pin down. The Five and the Seven are, like, two of the most nebulous cards for me in the deck.
What do you see out of the Five and Seven?
Well, like, you know, the Five, like, talks about, like, traditionally it talks about, like, failure, right?
Mm.
That in the Rider-Waite, you have this smarmy asshole with three swords, like, laughing, like, ha, 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 at these two people who are walking away, or, like, his opponent who's walking away, who's, like, weeping by the ocean. And, like, you know, that card comes up, and you're like, bummer, like, you failed. And
I don't see it that way.
Well, you know, that's...
That's right, okay.
Yeah, so that's, like, the like, kind of, like, traditional, like, spooky, ominous reading. You know, what... The other way that I see it, or a way that I like to see it, is, like, don't play a game that, like, is rigged against you, where, like... You know, when the swords are stacked against you, like, you don't need to play. Like, if you're in a relationship where you have no power, if you're in a job where you have no power and your needs aren't being met, if you're in a situation that, like, somebody else has all the power and is telling you to, like, do these things, like, fucking go and do something else that's more enjoyable, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be forced into a situation where you're just going to get shit on and you fail all the time. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, you got to, like, set things up in your favor. I think of the Five of Swords as the card of backbone, an argument.
Mm.
So I think of it as like a position where, well, five is a number of the Hierophant, right? So it's like, to me, that's saying that you have to live in between society and morality.
Mm.
So what that means sometimes is they're not always in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to stand up for something you believe in a way that people won't agree with.
Mm.
And even if it sort of mars you still have to show your backbone. And to me, it's not the most like terrible of the lost cards. It's just about like having to stand up for something. So to me, I guess if it's like it's more about like drawing a line on the sand of that shore, and like it might like feel painful or whatever to be in a clashing, but it's also important to have like a backbone. And then Seven of Swords is the other.
Yeah.
Why?
That one's also like super nebulous of like, you know, somebody sort of like running off with like a pile of swords and leaving two behind.
You hate somebody holding a pile of swords.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like you cut your hand, like all these micro cuts, and then you're trying to squeeze a lemon and it stings.
What?
You know? No, just like this, like, when that one comes up for me, it's like, oh, I like tried to cut corners.
Okay.
And then I get like, oh, fuck, like which corners did I cut? And like, you know, it's important to like show up and be in integrity and like, you know, handle your business in like an upstanding way and not try and like sneak around.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you try and do that and then like get caught, right? Like that card comes up and I'm like, oh, where did I cut corners? Where do I have to go back? You know? And like sort of the other side of that is like, sometimes like you can like bail on some of the traditions. Sometimes like the things that people are like, this is important and you need to do this, like are not actually important to you. And like having that place of, sort of agency and self-recognition of like what your value structure is against like more traditional value structures and like how that like what's actually important to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't even know where I got my interpretation of the Seven of Swords from, but it like happened really early on.
Mm.
And I think of it as like in similar way where it's like about a really slow process. It's going way slower than you want it to. And all of your efforts aren't returned.
Mm.
You know, I think of it as like a card where it's like two steps forward, one step back.
Mm.
But I feel like whenever I see that come up for somebody, I'm like, be tenacious, even though like you're not going to be, it's not like tit for tat. Like your effort isn't going to be like all returned. Like you're going to lose a lot of energy, but you have to keep going and going and going and going. And then you'll like hit marks as you go.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm always like pep talking whoever immediately. I'm like, you just got to get your head in the game. Like just keep going.
Good hustle.
Yeah. But I'm like, but it's going to be frustrating. So just know that it is. And
I mean, I think like just, you know, somebody stepping into like a tarot reader space and like hearing that is super powerful, right? Because hearing like the person with the magic and the understanding just being like, you're on the right path, like keep going, is like that affirmation is really, really powerful for an individual to hear.
You know? I like that.
Yeah.
So how did you develop this Instagram persona that's like Hulk Hogan meets like Ace Ventura meets like wizard guy?
That's an excellent description of my Instagram presence. I think, well, it started, I was getting a ride with a friend of mine, this musician, Emily Ritz, who is fantastic. And we were talking about sort of stuff that exists on the internet and like tarot readers that, you know, have like YouTube channels on the internet. And I was like, I want to do that, but I want to do it in like a more like psychedelic kind of like freaked out acid type of way. And she was like, just do it.
That's so funny.
And I was like, what do you mean just do it? And she's like, we're in traffic, like on, you know, going down to the city, like just do it. And I was like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, oh, just shut up and do it. So I like pulled a card and I got what's his name? Page of Swords, which is like a really good card for a new idea that like you have no idea how to wield. And so I like made this video and I like put it on the dashboard and like videotaped it. And I was like, I don't know, it's the Page of Swords. And he's like big sword and like little man and like running around and like, I don't know. I hope you like it. Okay, bye. And then she was like, great, like now do another one tomorrow. And I was like, oh. And so I like sort of developed this practice of pulling a card every day and making a video about it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. The next one that came about, and this is a short story, but was the high priestess, and I was at my friend's house in the city, and I was like, oh, I have to do this thing, like, and so, like, I was listening to a record, and I was like, oh, this is, like, really emo, and, like, I have all these emotions, and, like, had the high priestess on the turntable going around, and I was filming it, and I was like, this is the high priestess, and, like, you know, like, deep receptive wisdom, and, like, intuitive knowledge, you know, and, like, whatever, and did the whole spiel, and then, like, posted it, and was like, oh my god, I hate this, I hate this, everyone's gonna hate me, like, I'm a terrible person, like, I'm gonna get all these, like, Russian hackers who are gonna, like, destroy my life, and, like, dox me, you know, this, like, fear that just comes up with, like, putting oneself out there,
yeah,
you know, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna take it down, I hate this, I hate this, and I opened my Instagram account to, like, delete this thing, and, my homie Amber Khan, who is, like, the quietest revolution, like, great and powerful internet witch, had like, reposted it, and I had, like, 200 followers instantly. And she was like, this is great. Like, this is super powerful. And I was like, oh, no, you like me. Like, I don't know. It was, like, then I was, like, stuck in this thing because people were excited about what I was doing.
Yeah.
And slowly I went from being, like, terrified of having my presence exist in the world to being like, I'm an idiot with a cell phone walking down the street, you know,
yeah,
like, and sort of making this, like, weird kind of collage joke explanation of the tarot, which
it's very weird, like, when
you.
My friend, do you know Bianca Foss?
Yes,
she showed me your Instagram, and that's how I found you, and I was like, whoa, what the fuck is going on? It was, like, really refreshing, actually, because I think that, I don't know, I think a lot of us weirdo witches or whatever are kind of tired of, like, the popularization of crystals and all this, and then, like, just seeing, like, the same, like, Xanaxed out, like, perfect body yoga babe being like, this card means this. Namaste. And you're like, I can't relate to this. Like, I don't feel like a heartbeat or anything. Like,
yeah.
I think seeing, like, freaky, weird tarot magic stuff is, like, to me, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Also, I think that, like, you know, we all find our own way of expressing,
yeah,
you know, in this medium. And I think that one of the, like, beautiful things about magic is that everybody has access to it.
Yeah.
Everybody
no,
gets
completely.
To have access in their own
I
way.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I want to relate to, like, weirdo magic more than normie magic.
Totally.
And I love that the normies are getting magic now, but I still want weirdo magic.
Yeah. And I think that, like, there's enough robe wearing and chanting in the occult and in, like, the esoteric community. And it doesn't all need to be, like, you know, like, people chanting in Latin and, like, really somber and, like,
yeah,
you know, I think that,
I
like
that too, though.
What?
It's
there's a place
fun,
for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a place for that, but there's also a place for being like, whoa, I found these three objects on the street. And isn't that weird? Let me put them together. And that's a spell to, like, activate. I need to get my rent paid.
Yeah.
Know?
No, totally.
And, like, wait, like, in my personal humble opinion, like, the stuff or, like, the spirit realm that I work with, like, they like to laugh. You know, and, like, I think laughter is, like, hugely transformative and, like, really powerful. And, like, laughter is a really beautiful expression of love and is something that, like, totally defeats, like, ominous evil.
Woo! What is that?
Oh, Queen of Wands just popped out for all of you listening at home and in the car who can't see that.
Yeah. So what do you think of her?
I like to think of her as, like, a badass magician, you know, or, like, somebody who is just, like, in their, like, internal fire and cultivating that and, like, letting their light shine, you know. And she, like, has her familiar, this black cat, which is, you know, kind of, like, symbolic of the magical realm, right? So this,
yeah,
like, both, like, letting our light shine and, like, cultivating and tending our fire, and also this sort of, like, familiar aspect, or, like, the maybe deeper self, or, like, unseen things that become, like, manifest and, like, also, like, can be actuated through, like, our us being on our path, you know, us, like, kindling our fire, us, like, performing our work in the world.
Totally. I mean, also, like, that rod to me, like, the fire rod is, like,
mm-hmm,
the spine, like, so it's just imagining, like, the magic in your own body, and, like, when you, like, align yourself, like,
mm-hmm,
how you feel really on fire and, like, capable of anything.
Truth. Yeah.
So take me through like what it's like for you to make a video. You just like wing it the entire time.
Oh yeah, totally.
So
Totally.
you just pick a card.
What I've been doing, and I'm kind of on vacation now because like I spent a year doing this. It was like it started with like a card a day, and I went through like the entire deck. So it was like 78 days of like picking a card every day, which like, man, that was exhausting.
So you have a whole catalog of every card. You have a video for every card.
And you can go into my Instagram, Blind Stallion Space Wizard, and just like go back through, and I like pick a card every day and like, talk about it and like do a bunch of writing about it. And then so
Wow.
I spent 78 days doing that. And then starting in 2018, I picked three cards for the new moon and three cards for the full moon every month or like every 2 weeks, right? And would like give a reading for the collective based on like what showed up. So that was like one video of an overview, one video like in-depth look at each card, and then like a bunch of writing about it.
That's cool.
So like the process of making that is I would wake up in the morning and be like, fuck, 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 I gotta do this. Drink a bunch of coffee, write all day about,
You took it very seriously. This is great.
This is the only, like, I live in my van. This is the only job I have. But yeah, I would like do a bunch of writing, and like sometimes I would be like, oh my God, this is like really powerful, and like start crying, and I'm like, this is good. And then make a video in about 10 minutes of like, just being like, this card, blah 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 blah. Like, here's like a picture of Alejandro Jodorowsky. Here's a picture of a camel, whatever.
So, like, when you're making the video, do you feel pumped? Like, do you feel like you're just like in the zone, and then you've already done preparation, like, so you've like decided what you're gonna say already.
Sometimes the video is like all stream of consciousness, so I have an idea of what I'm talking about, but like sometimes it gets totally off topic and is like really weird.
Yeah,
And like,
which is fun.
yeah, it's totally fine. And like, I think that the sort of phonetic yangness of the videos of just me being like, I'm a crazy person, is balanced by like the writing, which I actually like think about and care about and like try and like craft.
How many people do you think read the writing?
More than I ever would have expected.
That's so funny.
And like, I know this because people tell me that it was like really impactful for them to read what
I
I
know,
wrote.
that's the thing. It's like being a freak on the internet, and like for every 4,000 people I imagine are judging me, that's a really high estimate, by the way, of people that would even care. But there's like this like wonderful shining fraction of people that DM me about like how a post or this or that like has helped them or like meant something to them. You know, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And one of the sort of things, like prayers that I hold whenever I'm like going to like read for people in like a public event is like, may this help the person who needs it. May I be here to like help whoever needs it. And if it's one person, like that's transformative, and that's all that
Yeah,
matters.
that's
And like,
amazing.
if I spend my whole day like making this like silly video and like writing about this thing, and like one person is like, oh my God, like a little bit of light got in, and like I can make it through today, like my work is like, that is great.
Which is like, honestly, I think a little bit fucked up because I think it's like, you know, a lot of people who are making things don't have to, or don't feel compelled to be like, is this coffee going to change someone's life? You know, like it doesn't have to, everything doesn't have to be so meaningful usually. But I feel like the weird thing about being a creator who's like into tarot or magic is like the deep desire to help anyone with anything. And I think that's kind of a lot. It's a tall order, you know, like.
Yeah, but I mean, yes, I think you're absolutely right. But it's also like a path that I've chosen to be of service, and it's like something that makes me feel alive, and like it's like the thing that I've like maybe like was sent here to do, And I think that everything has the potential to be transformative, but in kind of a capitalist system, like things go from being, handcrafted with love you know, and relegated more to a slew of product, you know, that is just like functioning to get us through or to release dopamine, you know, in like little bursts so that like we can tolerate this existence where we're alienated from, you know, each other and a sense of like agency in our lives.
Yeah, totally. I mean, maybe that's why your vehicle through Instagram of like making these like cereal commercials out of like your downloads. It's like your, you know, your audience, which are like the people who are living in a capitalist society and are just like used to getting information this way and like these little sound bites.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Yeah. I think we should do something interesting, like maybe pull cards.
Okay, cool.
And then we should say goodbye. We've been talking for 35 minutes.
Whoa, already?
Yeah.
I hope you at home and in the car are not bored yet by our
like,
witty banter.
There's no one there. They've like turned it off. All right.
I know there's one person still there who's like, oh my God, what are they going to pull? What are they going to pull?
Okay, we're going to pull for you.
Yeah.
Whoever made it to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh my God, this one's for you, my episode buddy, the Hangman.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that means stick around.
That means you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You literally fell. You were like...
Yeah. Well, do you want me to talk about it or should... Ooh, what do you got?
So this is my Page of Swords.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. Should we stop here?
Oh. Here, pull another one here.
All right. Oh, excellent.
Okay, so you read this and I read... Oh my God! Is that really what you pulled?
Yeah.
That's the same card.
Oh, excellent.
Cool.
For the readers back home, let it be noted that that's 2 Ten of Cups.
Yeah, we both pulled 10 of Cups. And we have the Hanged Man next to the Page of Swords. Or in my deck, it's the Kid of Points.
And let the record show that that's a kid with a box cutter. And I'm like, what's up? That's awesome.
Wearing a no fear shirt.
Yeah, what's up? I know that guy.
Everyone is that guy.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Which, like, actually is a really good interpretation of that card. Like, everybody is that guy, right? Because, like, you know, everybody's in that place where you're like, how do I use this tool? How do I say this? Like, how do I manage this idea?
Yeah, and you're kind of freaked out, but you're trying and you're trying to be tough. But it's sort of like a child.
Yeah. All the fucking time in my case, you know, and like I'm somebody who suffers from a huge amount of imposter syndrome. But like I'll just be like walking in the street and I'm like, I don't understand how to be alive.
Where do my elbows go when I walk? What do the people do?
Totally. And I'll be like, I dress today like a normal person dresses. And I like catch a reflection of myself in a window. And I'm like, I look like a freak. Like this.
Like, I got a torso and arms and legs.
Yeah.
I made it.
Right.
Human.
But so next to the Hangman, right? That's like maybe take some time to like think about how to use these your communication, like to integrate your thinking. Right.
Okay. So I mean to me with the like the double 10 of Cups to me is saying that like a good community, so like the people that are listening to this or you know, following either one of us on Instagram, talking about whatever the fuck we feel like talking about, they're showing up because they feel at home, you know, like they feel like, so if this was like a Blind Stallion Space Wizard video, how would you read this?
I'd probably like start out by screaming about the Hangman being like, oh no, everything's fucked. Oh God, what does it mean? What does it mean? And like sort of degenerate into dancing around in a circle playing a djembe in community. And there would probably be like some knife throwing to represent
the
Kid of Points.
Like he's gonna get out if Oh, you know what this is like? This is like every single fucking movie from or movie or TV show from the 80s and 90s. Where somebody got tied up for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And like some kid or lady were like, my nail file or like my pocket knife. And then they like slowly cut the binds.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's a scene in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost or Temple
That's
of Doom.
Probably, I mean, that scene was over and over and over
Where,
and like everything.
Short round is saving Indy.
Yeah.
Dr. Jones.
And then there's the Ten of Cups, which is like happy ending, right? Like,
yeah.
Everyone's having fun.
You know, like one of the things that I think about in this, right, is that the Hangman is sort of like this meditation that we go into. We choose to like take ourselves out of the rat race, out of the world, out of the struggle, and be like, yo, I'm gonna like go into myself. It's super receptive, and it's like this place of being in sacrifice and of like letting go of, you know, your agency for a minute to like gain this wisdom.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just being like, yo, it's winter, like it's cold. It's cold everywhere. It's raining in LA. It's probably snowing in New York. You're looking out your window right now and you're like, man, I don't want to go out there. And you're like getting all bundled
I
up.
I can't play soccer today.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. So like, you know,
I always think of the Hanged Man as, well, yeah. I mean, I think it's also like you put yourself into situations because you want to see something else. Like, I always think of this card as Odin.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to talk about that for a minute? Because I love that story.
Okay, yeah. So he's a knowledge seeker, right? So he sees everything in Yggdrasil, like all the universes, all the knowledge. He talks to the peasants and the gnomes and like all the creatures. And then he's like, I've learned all the things and I'm still not quenched. So he like hangs himself upside down by the ankle.
And makes this sacrifice, right? Where he also doesn't know the outcome. He's like, either this works out or I die, you know?
Yeah.
And it's this, like, sort of trusting and being like, I'm going to make the sacrifice and, like, engage in this meditation and hope that, like, I receive the knowledge that I need.
Which becomes excruciating and confusing.
Yeah.
And
until you're long
time.
Yeah.
For he's there for 9 days.
Yeah. And I believe puts out his eye, but he gets
the
runes.
No, that was before
that. Oh, right. True that.
Yeah.
But he receives the runes, right? The language, the ability to spell.
Well, he eventually, in his agony, he screams out and his scream breaks into the runes.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think it's like to the peak of his anguish, he like, there's like this thing that just like you from within you, there's this like breaking. And then from that, there's something that's created into the world that will forever like be of service to you.
That's what's up. And then your helpful sidekick comes and is like, Odin, hey, down here.
He's
okay.
Like a little sidekick.
Yeah, and he cuts him free, right? Like, it's also like when like the meditation's over, when like this yoga is over, when this, you know, sacrifice is over, it's important you come back down into the world, you know?
Yeah.
Like when winter's over or like there's a nice day, it's important that you stop watching Netflix and like come back into the world. And
no.
Never stop watching Netflix.
Never stop watching.
You know, and like come into like community, right?
Yeah.
It's like this.
Well, this is saying community here and there. There's like community all around.
All
There's
around.
Like tons of people.
Yeah. And holding that container for you to like be in your like receptive space to receive the knowledge that you need to learn.
That's so interesting. Man. We both got the Ten of Cups.
And like, I don't know, just personally, something that I've been thinking about is like, I just moved to Joshua Tree, you know, I'm there, I'm kind of like burnt out, I need to like rest and like figure out what I'm going to do next, both like with my business or like, you know, creative output and like with my life. And I'm just been in this place of sleeping and or like needing to sleep, and I get like super resentful with myself for like taking a break. And you know, this card, the Hangman, especially like being like, oh yeah, I need to like not do anything. I need to not try and like force things, or like if I can't read, like I need to be okay with that. You know,
that makes sense.
Really easy for me to beat up on myself about like, oh God, like I want to like make all these videos and like do all this stuff and read all these books and like, you know.
Yeah. Well, your foot's caught. You can't take another step. You have to stop.
Truth. And the struggle makes it worse.
And we have to stop this recording.
All right, great. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Bye, Neon Cauldron listeners.